keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursue.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're live with LaVon. Happy Friday. It's February 6, 2015. I'm happy to be here with you guys. Thank you for joining me. If you don't know, then let me tell you, we now have a show Monday through Friday, same time, same station. That's pretty exciting, so make sure you check out the others. Tonight, Friday, we try and talk about, well, me, I keep calling myself me. I try and talk about things that make you go, Tonight, I want to speak on some information that I learned from one of my favorite teachers. His name is John Finch. He's an herbologist here in San Diego. So I'm going to teach you some of his beliefs. He wrote an article called Learn How to Live 256 Years. Learn How to Live to Be 256 Years Old. Whew, there, I got it out. He's a teacher at Self Heal School in Ocean Beach, which is a cool little town, San Diego. And John's been an herb teacher since 1985. So I'm going to read to you a little bit of his knowledge. And there's also this cool article that I want to share with you that was originally published by the Huffington Post. I'm not sure which year, but it was reposted on a website called theopenmind.com. So we're going to read 8 ancient beliefs now backed by modern science. So that should be interesting. So welcome to the program, everybody. Make sure you guys call me, chat with me. I would really like it a lot. Unless your name starts with an A and ends with an L, I don't want to talk about sex unless it relates to our topic, okay? Just putting that out there. Okay, so one of my teachers, who I hope to see soon, this is part of me manifesting him in my life, his name is John Finch, and let's see, the Self Heal School was founded in 1985 in Ocean Beach. It is a place of discovery where people learn about how plants and plant medicines inform food choices, regular exercise, meditation practices, and a balance between meaningful work and play can lead to the fulfillment, a life full of fulfillment and wellness. Herbal medicine, or phytotherapy, is the use of plants and plant extracts for healing. The therapeutic principles of plant I'm sorry. The therapeutic principles of medicinal plants have been used in medicine for thousands of years. Most pharmaceuticals in use today are based on principles originally isolated from plants. Our knowledge of plant medicines derived mainly from Europe and Native American traditions, enriched by Chinese, Ayurvedic, and other traditions. Let's see. John has been using herbs for more than 35 years, completing professional training in 1984 with the great folkloric, I have a hard time saying that word. Folkloric, there we go. Herbalist Rosemary Gladstar. Rosemary instilled in him a love for the plants and the earth. A master teacher and medicine maker, John produces herbal products, writes for publication, and has been a guest on radio and TV presentations. I'm actually going to get him to come on soon, so that would be exciting. Holding a post-secondary teaching certificate for more than 20 years, he teaches herbal medicine and nutrition at local massage colleges, as well as self-heal school. He enjoys bringing herbs to life in the classroom, as well as leading identification walks, which are awesome, in local canyons and mountains. Ooh, someone's calling us. Let's see here. Hey, welcome to the show. This is LaVon. How are you?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Super good. Super well, actually. What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the ISIS.
You want to talk about ISIS?
Yes.
I'm not the political girl, man. I'm the wrong person to talk to about ISIS.
So what you want to talk about?
I want to talk about herbs.
Herbs?
Herbs.
Herbs. You want to talk about herbs?
Yeah, I'm trying to get into this article about how we can live to be 256 years old.
So explain that to me. How can you?
I'm getting there, man. You wanna hang on the line and add in as we go?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, hold on. Let's see. Where are we?
Am I your first caller?
For now, yes, you are. So I was just telling you about John Finch. He's been a teacher since 1984, right?
Uh-huh.
He teaches people about herbs and takes them out into like the wild and teaches them how to find them, how to harvest them, and how to use them in all sorts of different potions. So he wrote an article called Learn How to Live 256 Years Old. And so he starts off by saying, some believe that the human body is designed to last forever. So in the Old Testament, people live for hundreds of years. More recently, one Chinese herbalist, Li Qingyin, supposedly lived to be 256 years old, not only surviving that long, but maintaining stamina and fertility. He supposedly, listen to this, he supposedly produced over 200 descendants during his life, surviving 23 wives. Li attributed his lifespan to the daily ingestion of two root tonics, which are ginseng and foot tea, which is Apollinum multiflorum, and drinking pure water and maintaining pure thoughts through meditation. What do you think about that?
Sounds interesting, you know, but if you ask for my honest opinion, I'd rather not take everything at face value until I do my research.
Oh, for sure. Here we go. you got to realize this article was written by a man who's been studying since 1984.
Mm.
And he teaches at most of the colleges here locally in San Diego. But here we go. We'll continue in his work, okay?
You're talking about 31 years he's been researching.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The leaves and seeds of faux tea contain a compound called vitamin X, which is studied in France for its marked energizing and rejuvenating effects on nerves, the brain, and endocrine glands, which is really important, right? Notwithstanding this, there are indications that Li Qingyin may not have been that unique. Our bodies are a colony of ever-renewing cells, 27 trillion cells, none of which are more than a few years old. In fact, every day we break down and rebuild about 250 grams of proteinaceous material, or about half a pound. At this rate, we would renew completely about once per year. Actually, some cells replace more often, while some last a bit longer. Do you know about how cells function in your body?
No.
Okay, this is really important to understand. I've been studying biology for 15 years, personally. Medicine, in particular, I'm on year 8 now. So I spent a lot of my life studying the creation that I exist inside of, just because I thought, why else am I here? Like, what else is there to know about other than the body? Everything else is kind of irrelevant, right?
Yes.
This is how I believe. That's how I have always believed. So that's why I'm talking to you.
That's your belief system.
What's that?
That's your belief system.
That's my belief system?
Yeah, you know, and what you believe in, you know.
Oh, yeah, I believe in the that people should be aware of themselves. I think that's
yes, really. The natural herbs, you know.
Well, that's just one thing that I have interest in. But overall, I think it's really important that we understand our bodies. Like, think about all the things you learned in school. Like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, you were continuously learning about yourself, like every single system and every single aspect of your creation? You know how many people don't even drink enough water every day because they don't understand how it works in their cells?
Mm.
That's where I'm getting at here. So our cells, right, we have almost 30 trillion cells inside of us. And every single one of your cells has a job, and it knows exactly what it's supposed to do. Different cells do different things. But overall, generally, they're continuously healing, like continuously. They're always cleaning and healing themselves. So on a cellular level, your body is constantly being renewed. So that makes me wonder, why does this process cease to exist? Why can't I just continuously renew? You know, like, I'm a gardener, okay? Let me tell you something about plants. They are amazing. So I'm growing all sorts of different things. And even garlic, you can take one clove of garlic from a bulb and you can put toothpicks in it gently and root side down, suspend it over like really good water, like distilled drinking water, right? And leave it in your kitchen for like 5 days and it'll sprout and you can plant it and you can get garlic perpetually. So that's that little cell of garlic is just like you. Like, why are you not everlasting? Do you ever wonder?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, I wonder all the time. And it gets me thinking, like, it's got to be what we're put in it. Well, essentially, that's all that it could be. Your body is using the fuel that you give it, the food, the water, the air, the environment, the feelings, the experiences, as its means of creation for itself. So, like, what are you giving yourself? You know?
I'm listening.
Okay. So different things that you eat have different effects on you. So, like, I often think, okay, do I want to be made of kale or do I want to be made of, like, white bread? You know, there's just a comparison in my mind. Like, I want to be made of something substantial and rich in vitamins and hearty and nutritious and dense in flavor and all sorts of other things that are sustaining, you know? So John goes on to say, if none of our cells get old, why do we? He says, there are many theories. The free radical theory blames freakish molecules lacking electrons that attack our structures, wreaking havoc. Some studies indicate that the average cell in our bodies actually suffers 1 million oxidative hits per minute, which must be repaired by our antibiotic enzymes. Do you know about enzymes?
No.
Okay, so that's another aspect of you that's really important. So inside your body, there's a balance of flora, which are like bacteria. And enzymes are a type, and they help things break down, basically. So he's talking about ingesting chemicals and them attacking your cells and creating an imbalance. So he says, this would be akin to traveling in a spaceship through a continuous meteor shower that damaged the ship a million times per minute, with repair crews working incessantly around the clock, fixing, 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 sounding very busy. Okay, so that's his perception of the free radical theory. One theory is about how we run out of enzymes to provide our metabolic functions and so fall behind on this critical repair work and slowly deteriorate. Excuse me while I drink some water. So he says that the main reason for enzyme depletion is the consumption of cooked and processed foods. Have you heard this theory?
No.
Probably not, okay? I'll explain after I read this paragraph here. Enzymes die if exposed to temperatures above 110 degrees Fahrenheit. As we get older, our bodies can't keep up with the imposed deficit, with resulting decline in metabolic function, digestive function, and immune competence. In Dr. Edward Howell's definition work on the subject, enzyme nutrition, based on 40 years of research, he compares cultures who eat diets of predominantly cooked foods with those who eat mostly raw foods, and his arguments are worth considering. So I'll tell you my experience on his theory about enzymes. So enzymes are basically have to work to help your body break down food, like inside your intestines. And this particular theory about cooked food is that because the food is cooked, you kill all of the things in it that are alive, and your body has to use a lot of its own enzymes to break it down, therefore leaving you more depleted than nourished. You follow?
Yes.
Like if you eat an apple, it's like a perfect food. An apple is full of all the things it needs inside of itself to be absorbed and digested. Plus, it gives you a boost. So an apple is a plus in the energy realm as opposed to like a steak, which may be a negative because it takes a lot of energy to digest it. I mean, you're still getting nutrition from it, but in regards to enzymes, it's not the best. So I'll just reiterate here that he mentioned Dr. Edward Howell's work of 40 years of research. So check that out if you want some more information about enzymes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And he goes on to talk about stress, which I think is really important here because, yes, we are a physical being, but there's a whole other aspect of us that exists on an emotional level, like on a soul level, however you want to describe it. And essentially, your experience is a lot of it is created based on your emotions. Would you agree?
Yes.
How much of your experience, like if you had to give a percentage, would you say is affected by your emotions? Are you with me? Hello? Hey, you guys, sorry, I lost my caller there. I lost you for a moment, too. I was asking the caller if he had to give a percentage of how much he thinks emotions play a part in his experience. What would he say? Wondering if any of you have an answer for that. We were just talking about how we're not just physical beings, although it's really interesting how our cells function, we're learning how to live to be 256 years old. We talked about the Chinese herbalist Li Qianyin, who supposedly lived to be 256 years old. You guys can do some research on him. He took reported ingestion twice a day or several times a day, however many times you can look it up, of ginseng and fo tea. So look it up. We were just getting ready to talk about stress when I lost you guys. And something I talk about a lot. Emotions are so crucial to our existence. And so many of us don't know how to deal with them. Me included. Like I'm learning too. I'm here in life school with you. And it's quite interesting at times. I know you can't disagree to that. But being someone who works in a healing center where a lot of body work is takes place, I see emotions experienced in a whole other way. And you guys may have heard me talk about something called retracing or a healing reaction before. And that occurs when you have a type of body work, whatever it may be. Some people get acupuncture, or some people get Reiki treatments, or chiropractic, or massage, or cupping, or gosh, yoga, like even you name it. There are so many different types of body work that you can receive. And sometimes you have like really intense emotional releases, like, because you literally can store these experiences inside of your body. And I've been working on people for 5.5 years now, and I'm confident in this occurrence. Like I live it every day. I see it firsthand. It's quite profound. I want to share with you a story of a lady that, gosh, so many amazing things happened this week in my office. And then we'll get to this article in John Finch's, or we'll get to this aspect in his article about stress. But I had a lady come in who was having a lot of low back pain, and she was, among other things, she had like super tight hip flexors. And we have a laser in our office that emits photons or light energy at 810 nanometers. And that's a specific range. And that's important because that's the optimal window of absorption. So your body takes this light because it's so similar to the manner in which it communicates to your cells. Literally, your cells are like throwing light at each other inside of you. Like, it's quite amazing. Like, this is why I geek out on the body. Anyways, so it emits this light, these photons, at 810 nanometers, and your body accepts the light and it uses it as fuel because inside of each cell, there's something called the mitochondria. Do you remember that from biology class? And that's like the engine of your car. It powers your cells. So it takes this light and it uses it as fuel. And it literally allows your body to do what it already knows how to do. And we've used it on so many different parts of the body in so many different applications. But this particular instance, this lady had really tight hip flexors or psoas muscles. And those are really interesting the way they are used and articulated in the body. Like they're activated pretty much every time you lift your leg, which is like a lot, or bend at the waist. So imagine you use those constantly, right? If you're sitting, if you're walking, pretty much all the time. So most people have tight hip flexors and they're kind of hard to stretch. You kind of have to, according to my doctor, internally rotate your thigh to engage it, which seems to be most effective. But you also have to like not engage your glute or anything else. And then you have to like tip your pelvis. It's interesting. We'll get to that later. But the point is that I worked on her hip flexors, right? And she had been coming in for like a week or two, getting different types of body work, and she was having result, but something was still holding on. And my personal experience with psoas or deep psoas muscles is like you store some really intense stuff in there. And I had a really intense like healing reaction, like a retracing reaction, which I encourage you to look up. It's when you have some body work that's profound and you release an event that is connected to the literally like the tightness, the bound up knot, the inside of you, you kind of like relive that moment. And it's like a defrag. It's like you kind of like finally come to terms with whatever it was, or you understand it. Like, imagine something traumatic happens to you and you don't know what it is, and you experience it, but you don't ever comprehend it and like understand what's actually happening. And this is a defense mechanism people have, and so it gets stored away. And at times when you're ready, you know, and if you want it to happen, and like you can let this type of stuff out. I've seen it happen lots of times. And this lady had the encouragement from me. I could tell she just was holding on, and she literally had like, gosh, like a tennis ball size knot in her right hip flexor. So I'm trained by the creator of this particular one. His name's Dr. Curtis Turchin. And he's really cool. You can look up this laser. It's called L like Larry, Z like zebra, R like red, 7.com, LZR7.com. And you can read all sorts of data and testimonials there. If you think you'd like to know, go there. Anyways, so I put it on her belly because I'm treating her pain and her inflammation. And she, you know, I encourage her, like, breathe, relax. Like, you feel that knot in there? I was like, you can let that go, you know? Like, you don't have to let it stay. And I told her, you know, we store a lot of our emotions in this part of our body. And I personally have had an experience where I let something like that go, and I felt so incredible. So I just empowered her. You know, I told her, it's okay. You can be in your body. I'm not going to judge you. I'm just going to stand here, and I'm going to be, and you just be, and we'll see what happens, okay? And I'm like, whatever you leave on the floor, I'll clean it up. Don't even worry about it. Like, I like to personify people's pain and tell them that they have control over it. And I am amazed at what happens. And a lot of it is the patient. And, like, you know, people can be their own doctors in certain instances. And I encouraged her to relax, and she did. And I saw her, like, when it was beginning to happen, you know, she picked up her phone and started fidgeting. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, just put down your phone. You're going to do some breathing. Just let this happen, okay? Just relax. So she did. She did. And she had an experience. Like, that knot left her body. And she got up and she felt a lot less tension in her low back. And, you know, the body's a kinetic machine. Everything's connected. And it's profound. And she came in today. You know, that was the other day. She came in today and she's like, the treatment I had the other day was the best one ever. I've never felt better. And I was just like, you go, girl. Like, she did that. You know, she had control of her body. And, you know, I see a lot of instances where people don't believe that they have enough influence in themselves to have like that type of an effect. And I see it a lot where they don't let go and they think, I'm not going to get better. Well, you're right. Healing hurts. I'm going to tell you, healing hurts. We talked about cells earlier, and every cell, it has its job and it's constantly healing and repairing. Well, that takes a lot of energy, and sometimes it doesn't feel very good. But it's important to know how we heal too, and every situation is different. So John is talking about stress here. Stress is actually a blanket term for many destructive mechanisms. Emotional stress can be positive or negative. The water we drink is getting more and more polluted. Our food is grown in depleted soils and loaded with toxic chemicals and trans fatty acids. Animal products contain concentrated amounts of toxins, sticky saturated fats, and cholesterol. We often heat things in microwave ovens that alter their vibrational nature and ours. We're burning holes in our atmosphere's protective layers, exposing us to deadly radiation. For Forget about the quality of air we breathe. The question in this modern age is not so much how can we live longer, more to the point in the midst of such self-imposed destructiveness is how we survive it all. So that's my point. There are a lot of different types of stress. Not only in your body on a cellular level via consumption of unnatural foods, like foods that come from boxes or packages or bags and shelves and freezers in the store. Like, Nick and I imagined a grocery store before that's literally full of, like, aquaponics tanks. Where you walk in and it's like a conventional grocery store, except that it's full of, like, fish tanks in live plants or even garden boxes, just depending on the type of space and type of food growing. And you can literally, like, harvest your own food. Wouldn't that be cool? Or if, like, the entire parking lot of grocery stores was just a garden. Like, I think it's, like, my example earlier with the garlic clove. Like, why do you keep buying garlic when you can save one clove from your organic garlic, sprout it, and continually grow garlic? Like, that's something that can happen. And essentially, your body is renewable as well if you put good things in it. But we have to consider that there is a way that we can have a balance in our lives. The trick is being informed. And I wish to bring that to you guys. We have a lot of programs where we talk about the function of the body and why it's important to have balance. And you're going to ingest toxins one way or another, but what do you do to balance them? So for me personally, I'm growing my own food. I know what's going in the earth. I know what kind of water is going into it. I'm trying to take all the chemicals out of my home. You know, your home should be your sacred place. There should be nothing that can harm you there. Nothing emotionally harmful, nothing stressful, nothing with chemicals. So that includes all shampoos and hair creams and toothpaste and soaps that I clean my laundry in and things that I clean the house in. And there are lots of alternative ways that we've talked about on how to do these things in our home that need to get done with things that aren't harmful to us. In John here in this last portion of his article talks about how we heat things in microwaves that alter their vibrational nature and ours. So Nikola Tesla said, you know, if you wish to understand the universe, think in terms of vibration, frequency, and energy. And I couldn't agree more. That man's my hero for a reason. And you got to consider the way you're heating your food. Don't radiate it. Like, then it puts radiation in you. You got to make sure that you're eating a balance of uncooked food to cooked food. Like, fresh vegetables, fresh juice, fresh fruit. If you can't eat vegetables, you know, lightly saute them, like break open the cell wall just enough to let everything come out. But you don't want to overcook them so that all their nutrition is just gone. You know, it literally leaks out if you overcook things. You want to eat some apples, man. I really, really like the juice that Sprouts has. They have this unfiltered, like, raw apple juice that is amazing. And it comes in a really cool glass bottle. I recommend that one. I pretty much, like, inject it into my veins. So delicious. But that has a lot of enzymes. You know, on days that I can't eat raw food or get, you know, some good fats, like, I definitely go to that type of source. I want to get into our next topic here. I got kind of stuck there on that article. Doo-doo. So, 8 ancient beliefs that are now backed by science. Let's see here. The Earth may not be flat, nor is it the center of the universe, but that does not mean old world intellectuals got everything wrong. In fact, in recent years, modern science has validated a number of teachings and beliefs rooted in ancient wisdom that, up until now, had been trusted but not proven. Here are eight ancient beliefs and practices that have confirmed that have been confirmed by modern science. Helping others can make you healthier. In their never-ending search for the best way to live, Greek philosophers argued over the relative benefits of hedonic and eudaimonic happiness. Hedonic well-being sees happiness as a factor of increased pleasure and decreased pain, while human flourishing, happiness has more to do with having a larger purpose or meaning of life. A recent study from University of North Carolina, a Chapel Hill psychiatrist, Barbara Fredrickson, may reveal which form of happiness is more beneficial for health and well-being. In the study, which was published in the Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences last year, she found that while both types of happiness can make you feel good, the latter could promote physical health and longevity as well. Using phone interviews, questionnaires, and blood samples, the study explored how the two forms of happiness affected individuals on a genetic level. Participants with hedonic and less eudaimonic well-being were found to have a lower production of virus-attacking antibodies. And those with eudaimonic, I keep saying that wrong, I'm sure, well-being experienced an increase in antibody production. So, when you're just genuinely supported, your immune system is better. End of story. That's beautiful. Next topic here is acupuncture can restore balance to your body. Oh, I tell my patients all the time that I feel like, this is my personal experience, of course, I feel like acupuncture works on my spirit, and I feel like other types of body work, like chiropractic and massage, you know, the touching type, work on the physical part of my body. But acupuncture is a way to move person's chi. The traditional Chinese medicine technique is believed to address imbalance in a person's chi, the circulating energy within every living thing. Whether or not you believe in the existence of this energy flow, a new study published in Archives of the Internal Medicine found that the age-old practice may be an effective way to relieve migraines, arthritis, and other chronic pains. Analyzing previous research data from approximately 1,800 subjects, researchers found that acupuncture was more effective than the sham acupuncture in standard Western care when treating various types of pain, including migraines and chronic back pain. I've had some amazing experiences with acupuncture. Lots of healing reactions. For me, I can literally feel like the energy running around. I imagine like the little cars on the freeways driving real fast. It feels so good. And I used to have a phobia of needles, but I gotta tell you, after spending some time in medical school and finding myself an acupuncturist that I trust and that I vibe with, it's been the most beautiful experience. It's not painful at all. It feels like a release. It's just so profound. So check it out if you are inclined. The next topic here is we need the support of the community in order to thrive. Oh man, this is so close to my heart. I believe this. I'm building a community. I've been talking to you guys about it for like a year and a half. It is totally happening. It's totally happening. We've got a big garden growing, and we're gathering people to help, and everybody's going to have their own job and know what to do, and it's going to work well. Traditional Buddhist teachings suggest that community is a key component in any happy, fulfilled life. A 2010 study conducted by Brigham Young University and University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill research confirmed this belief, concluding that a healthy social life promotes longevity. In analyzing the 148 studies involving more than 300,000 individual participants, Available on the subject, the researchers discovered that those with stronger social relationships maintained a 50% increased likelihood of survival. The effect of social relationships on mortality risk is even greater than the effect of exercise or obesity. So that's really interesting, you guys. Think about that. So, up earlier, we learned that having support emotionally gives you a stronger immune system. And according to this study, a healthy social life promotes longevity, which is kind of along the same lines. I'm going to argue that you need the support of a community in order to thrive, especially in regards to creating localized food source. And this is something we touch on the program a lot, is we don't control the manner in which we obtain our health, right? During the week, we talk about politics and how our freedom is non-existent. So I want you to question the importance of your health and how you can control it. And more importantly, how do we create perpetual health on a community level that is for everyone? Because essentially, if everyone is their best them, then everything's blown up. Here we go. Hey, welcome to the program. This is Long. Who are you? Hello?
Hello, is this the window?
Yeah, you're on Phantom Media. This is Levon. How's it going?
What is this about?
You called me. You don't know what we're talking about?
Is this a radio? For the conversation?
Yes. Would you like to be a part of the conversation?
So what is it about? You just talk or what?
Are you not listening or what?
No, I'm not listening to me.
Whoa, dude, are you like some sort of mind reader? How did you know how to call me then? That's amazing. Are you here to talk about telekinesis? I am so interested. Let's go.
Hello. I'll call you back.
You're calling back? Okay, awesome. Thank you. That was funny. Hey guys, sorry, I get kicked off every time I get a caller for some reason. We're just gonna call Friday Night Troll City. Oh man. So anyways, I was talking about the importance of community in regards to creating health, perpetual health that is for everyone. Because essentially, if everybody's healthy, we're gonna be stronger, optimal, and just overall better. Communities. Hold on a second. I'm gonna get smart. I'm gonna answer it on my cell phone. Hey, welcome to the program. You're on with Levon. How's it going? Hello? Hold on 1 second, okay? Let me put you on speaker. 1 second.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Hopefully everyone can hear everyone. What's your question?
Okay, my question is about protein.
Your question's about...
I'm learning about herbalism. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Your question's about what?
Protein.
Protein?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, is there a difference between the cooked version and a non-cooked version? Because I hear people saying you have to have a cooked one. I hear people saying you have to have a raw one. And it's back and forth. I ask some herbalists telling me only get the good virgin. And I hear other herbalists who's telling me, only get the non-cut virgin. And I'm wondering, is there really a big difference between them?
Honestly? Honestly, that's a great question. Yeah. I'm not sure how to answer that. My herbologist makes tinctures, and what we do is we have a raw version that we extract into alcohol. So
yes.
you're getting all the essence of it without cooking it. Like, that's how I personally would ingest it. But at the same time, why not have both? Why not make tea and tincture? You know,
yeah,
like,
I was doing a tincture from the raw one, but another herbologist told me the raw one has some, I forgot what she said, it can cause effects on the body over long term. She said that is why, actually forgetting the guy's name, but that's a 256, but that is why. He himself is cooking in bean paste.
Oh.
So that's
why. Oh, he made it like in mung bean?
Repeat that, please.
Bean paste, like mung beans?
Yeah, he used to, the story that the guy told me is that he used to, from what it's saying in some of the ancient papers about some of the stuff he did, he would cook for tea and that type of bean paste. He said if you would cook it in that, and also if you would cook it in wine.
I like the idea of wine, because then you get like you get helps in with like assimilation from like the alcohol. That's a good idea.
Right.
Like
right.
Personally, my personal favorite way to take herbs, and I'm not going to tell you how the best way for you to take Fotie, because it just, I think it depends on your personal conditions and, like, what you're hoping to achieve. Do you not agree? And I think I think that's why there's so many different opinions. But personally, like, my favorite way is to take things with, like, coconut oil, because it helps us to assimilate. Like, the body loves coconut oil, and I think it's a great medium for herbs. Have you ever had any experience with herbs suspended in coconut oil?
Never did that. And that's funny. I just today, from a friend of mine from Belize, taught me how to take a whole coconut and make the milk, and then take that milk and prepare coconut oil.
Okay, that's an awesome skill. So I'm going to encourage you, maybe have a little experiment and try some Fotie suspended in coconut oil. Let's do some research on that. Well, you want to slow cook it. You want to find out the exact temperature that is best for that herb. So you want to look that up and have a controlled cooking process with the coconut oil. And just infuse it. And then use that oil in different ways.
I'm going to try that, because I've got both. I got the cooked version and the non-cooked version.
And you can use hydrogenated and non-hydrogenated coconut oil, depending on what you want to do. Like if you want more of a butter, you want to use like conventional coconut oil that solidifies. If you get the kind, I believe they call it hydrogenated, or let's see what the proper term is here.
I'm probably gonna make my own.
But yeah, that sounds. That sounds amazing. Like, I wish I knew how to make my own coconut oil. So that's it. Maybe you could tell us more about that some other time. Maybe you could call us back and give us, like, a lesson on how to make our own coconut oil. Like, I would be interested in that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. But to be honest, it's a bunch of YouTube links on people doing just that too.
Oh, people can find out about it on YouTube?
Yes. I mean, that's why I asked him, because he makes his own, and I just so happen to see a couple on YouTube making theirs. So they're on, and I asked him, and he brought me in his kitchen, and he cooked it and did it in front of me. And you let the stuff sit like 8 hours after the milk, and it forms this paste like stuff on a pot. and you put it on a low temp, you cook it down, and the oil struggles from it, and it comes up to the top.
I'm going to try that. I'm so inspired, because I use coconut oil pretty much all the time, everywhere, for everything. I should get like a coconut. I should get a coconut grove. I should just grow them. Let's
anyway,
do
it. Nice talking to you. And
oh.
I appreciate some of the advice. And
yeah, thanks for calling. Let me know what your little experiment turns up. I want some feedback, some data. Okay.
Okay. Enjoying your show.
Oh, thank you very much. You have a good evening. We're gonna work our way through this article here, and if anybody has any more feedback or questions, just call in.
Bye.
Good night. Well, that was a nice caller. It's nice not to get nice not to have trolls for a while. Not that I don't mind the challenge. That's fun too. So let's see here. We were talking about the importance of living in community, and I was telling you guys about how awesome it's been experimenting, growing my own food, and creating my own health products that are chemical free. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Let's see here. So Tai Chi can help alleviate a variety of health conditions. So this ancient Chinese martial art is based on the belief that achieving balance with one's mind and body creates an overall sense of peace and harmony, naturally inspiring a long life. A report in the May 2009 issue of Harvard's Woman Health Watch summarized several studies confirming that this moving meditation practice can help prevent and treat many age-related health problems, a long-standard treatment in older adults. A number of studies in the past decade have found Tai Chi to be helpful for those suffering from arthritis, low bone density, and heart disease. I want to get my Tai Chi on. I'll let you guys know about that personally, how that helps me. I got turned on to it because I like the idea of meditation, but I also like the idea of like being outside and moving. So I thought, why not do both? And there are a lot of monks who practice moving meditation. It's like super advanced form. And I've been sitting in silence in buildings for long enough. Like I wanna start moving around outside. So that's a goal of mine. More to come on that. Speaking of meditation, meditation can help you reduce stress and discover inner peace. Steaming from ancient Eastern origins, the practice of meditation is believed to help still the mind and reach a heightened level of awareness, improving health and well-being as a byproduct. Science is now proving the health benefits of meditation. Latest study from a team of Harvard Medical School scientists reveal how this mind-body practice can affect genes that control stress levels and immune function. Harvard psychiatrist John Dininger and his team use neuroimaging and genomics technology to measure potential physiological changes in each subject more accurately. After observing the high-stress individuals as they followed the study's prescribed yoga and meditation practices, the team noticed an improved mitochondrial energy production, utilization, and resiliency, which helped to reduce the stress linked to health conditions like hypertension and fertility. We talked about mitochondrial importance earlier. Like that's the engine of your cell. That's really important. So if you can heighten your mitochondrial production alone by sitting in silence and breathing, why not? That's really cool. Next topic here is compassion is the key to a meaningful life. Tibetan Buddhist traditions include a practice called metta, or loving kindness. In 2012, a study from Emory University found that compassion meditation based on this Tibetan model can effectively boost one's ability to empathize with others by way of reading their facial expressions. Another loving kindness meditation from 2011 found that over time this practice increased participants' positive emotions that allow them to find a deeper sense of mindfulness, their purpose in life, the network of support surrounding them, and their health. These components helped increase in overall satisfaction. Next topic here is accepting what you can't change is the key to reducing suffering. That's interesting. According to Buddhist teachings, one must accept things they cannot change in order to reduce suffering. Now scientists have found that this belief rings true, especially for older adults who are working through difficult life changes. Researchers from Deakin University in Australia found that facing the realities of living life with assistance and losing a degree of independence helps seniors live longer and feel happier. Their study, which was published in the Journal of Happiness Studies last year, compared feelings of life satisfaction and perceived control over older adults living with assisted living and those living in the community. Their analysis revealed that the ability to accept the inevitable as well as maintain a low-level control in assisted living setting was a significant predictor of life satisfaction. The researchers concluded that in order to protect the well-being of older individuals, adaptation involves both a sense of control and the active acceptance of what cannot be changed. Well, that's an interesting study to support that. But have you not accepted that in your own life as well? That it's pointless to worry about things that you can't change. It's like a waste of your energy. Like that seems like a common conclusion. That seems like a common conclusion. Last topic here, and I couldn't agree more, is all you need is love. This one's important. If there's one thing that a variety of ancient wisdom traditions can agree on, it's the value of love in maintaining a happy, meaningful life. And a group of Harvard researchers on a mission to uncover the true roots of fulfillment conducted a 75-year study that reached the same conclusion. The Harvard Grant study, led by psychiatrist George Villant, followed the life trajectories of 268 male students in order to answer life's universal questions of growth, development, value, and purpose. They considered the most meaningful finding of the study to be that a happy life revolves around loving relationships. He explained, this is the most important part, that there are two pillars of happiness. One is love, and the other is finding a way of coping with life that does not push love away. Could you agree more or not? That's the key, is letting yourself be happy. To all my friends who know self-sabotage, well, that's for you. So that was an interesting article, you guys. The eight ancient beliefs that are now backed by modern science. We got a lot of callers tonight. That was fun. I appreciate it. We went over the work of John Finch, just one of his articles where he titles How to Live 100 to Be 256 Years Old, where he talks about the importance of certain herbs, more importantly, cellular function, and the fact that we can create stress within our bodies. More importantly, we need to consider the stress that is perpetual in our earth based on the systems that we practice. So think about the story I told you guys about garlic, how you can grow garlic forever with one clove of garlic. And there are so many vegetables that are the same. So why are you going to keep buying them from the store? Don't you think you should invest instead in the space to grow them and soil and maybe education on how to grow them and when to grow them and why to grow them? So that's some food for thought, you guys. Enjoy your weekend and catch us on Monday.
I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the